Hello, stranger. I'm so happy you reached out to me about the workout. And I got to tell you, this is really interesting coming from you.
Oh, thank you so much.
This is definitely different than what I've, you know, we've seen and we've talked about before. You know, Murder Anyone, Fortress, Survive the Game, Beyond the Law, even Sally, and definitely different than Sally Floss. So I'm curious, I'm curious how the workout came to be. What, because you co-wrote this with David Lawrence. How did this take shape, James?
So it was like right after the strikes, and you know, hadn't worked for a while because of that, and I was bored, and I realized that, like, oh my God, my birthday was coming up, and this was going to be the first year that I hadn't made a new movie before my birthday since my career started. Like, so I just posted on Instagram, like, I'm going to start shooting something next week. Who's down to help me out? And that's how the movie came together. as crazy as it sounds.
And of course, Brian jumped in, and RJ jumped, you know, you've got your core people with you. Where did the idea for this story arise?
Well, I kind of wanted to make something that was like a video diary of somebody unraveling while they were losing their mind and make it in an action movie. And I was like, I don't think I've ever seen a found footage action movie. And so, like, that's kind of where all of the concept came from.
I think it's really cool. First, it caught me off guard until you've got the great dialogue in there, especially between the character of Levi, the doctor, and Levi explaining to Wyatt, and the doctor explaining to Wyatt, you're going to video everything, because of the injuries that he has sustained. So that in the future, he'll have a record, daughter will have a record of her father's life. So I love how you tease us visually.
I think, you know, it's somebody who is kind of mentally unhinged, and he's leaving this video diary for his daughter. But I think it also, you know, you have to look at who the person is that's doing it. And so I think it's, you know, the movie gets increasingly more and more violent and more crazy as it goes on.
But you also create a lot of ambiguity, which is, when you get to the end of the film, and we're not going to give away any spoilers for those that haven't seen it yet. And of course, everybody can see the film right now. It's streaming on multiple platforms. But it really makes you wonder, and I kept thinking the whole time, how much of a friend is Levi? And then we see more and more things happen, and we see some great physical expressiveness and body language from Josh Kelly as Levi.
Yeah, Josh was so good in the movie.
Oh my God.
I was so impressed with his performance, and it's very, very layered and you know, very, very human. And, you know, shout out to Josh as well, because Josh is a Army Ranger, was an Army Ranger himself in real life. He fought Tours of Duty.
Yeah, so for him to play a former Army Ranger here, that's a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer. But I love the ambiguity that you create, and you do this visually, thanks in large part to Josh's body language throughout. When he won't look Wyatt in the eye, or he turns his head, or he goes to the back of the room. But you also, the way you've got it cut, and a couple scenes in there with Wyatt's doctor, I have to wonder, is the doctor telling the truth? So this is in the back. This is in the back of my mind through the whole movie, James. Who's lying? Somebody's lying. But you really?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, yeah. I mean, you know, it's good that the movie took you for a ride for sure.
It really did, which is another thing. You surprised me with this one. How difficult or challenging was it with the visual look that you have, with creating the video static that you get with VHS, that everybody is familiar with VHS? Because that's the static that you deliver.
That was something that me and RJ really worked heavily on, and I think that we found a really good stylistic realistic look for it. You know, I think we wanted to have this mixed media approach, so like every camera felt like it was a different, you know, entity. So like, you know, you're not seeing anything that looks equally as crisp. Like it's like you're looking from all different things and different feeds.
Mm-hmm. How many cameras were you using? Because I really love the fact that we have all these little surveillance cameras. How challenging was it in post for you and RJ to come up with that visual look of the static and all, which you increase? As violence increases, so do the ins and outs, especially with all of the cameras that you have. How many cameras were you using? Because I love the look that we get. Some of them are in color, some are black and white. We've got the chest cam that Levi's wearing. Wyatt's got cams. How much were you shooting with that RJ then had to work with in post?
So at any given scene, we had like 8 cameras going at the same time.
Only 8? My God, you're slipping,
only
James.
Only 8.
You're slipping. I would have expected at least a dozen from you. But no, seriously, it works so well. And where you have those little cameras, the cameras are placed, you really immerse us. We get a full view of each room or each exterior. I love it when we are inside our first criminal's home at the Antonucci Mansion. I love, you know, the setup that you have there with shooting that, because it is such a huge, wide open space. And then we go upstairs and we get into Antonucci's suite or his bedroom, and it looks like Donald Trump threw up in it, but with all the white and gold.
Yes.
But it fits. It fits the character, but it all looks so good as we go from the surveillance cams or the body cam to you're pulled back. You've got Brian there, and he's got a full-on of the whole scene for us in real time. That had to be challenging for you and to pull that off, that mix. That had to be challenging for you and RJ in editing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's just a testament to just how talented RJ is. He's just kind of phenomenal. And he's the only person I know who I could give 8 cameras worth of stuff in every scene, and he can make sense of it with me. You know what I mean? He's just that good.
But it's not just making sense. It's making sense so that the viewer can understand it too. And that's the key. And you guys succeed. You really succeed in that, the cutting back and forth, and they're not sharp, quick cuts. You give us enough with each time there's a cut, if it's one camera to another camera, and you give us the 4-screen overview. Here's 4 cameras, here's 6 cameras on one computer screen, viewing screen, so that we get an overview and then we can hone in on each one. So it's really done so smartly, James. With the edit, really well done.
Thank you so much. I will pass your compliments to RJ as well.
And you know I'm a huge admirer of his work anyway. But this really...
He is the unsung hero. He is amazing.
He really pushed the envelope with this one. And the violence here, wow. You really upped the ante in this film with the action sequences. And the violence... You've got one scene in there, and it's kudos to the makeup and any special effects that were used. Half a face gets blown off, and a cloudy eyeball is exposed. But the action,
yeah,
it looks so cool. It's disgusting, but it looks so cool. But it just
thank you so much. Yeah, they did such a great job with that.
How challenging was, because you are no stranger to action, but upping the ante this much with this film, with the level of action and the types of disciplines, we're seeing some martial arts kick in here. You're using different kinds of armament. You've got handguns, you've got machine guns or AK-47s. You've got so much happening here. How did you wrangle and design all of that in coordinating with stunts and with blocking for Brian's purposes?
Well, I mean, you know, it was a dance, definitely, and working with Brian and Luke LaFontaine, who was our stunt coordinator, was definitely a pleasure. I mean, you know, a lot of it was, you know, finding the right angles, and it's very difficult to set up, you know, 8 different cameras and have it all catch the stunt in the right way. So it was definitely a dance, but it was very cool to see it all come together. And a lot of times we would shoot everything and then go back and redo it and play it just for the chess cameras, because everything had to be done differently for the chess cameras.
Mm-hmm. Was it difficult to, how did that impact your shooting days, the length of your days?
It was interesting, to say the least, but we definitely, we made our days each day. So, you know, at least the team was prepared to get it done.
Now, when we're in Levi's apartment, that, and you've got some great action happening in there as well. Not on such as grand a scale as when we're in the Antonucci mansion or out or the warehouse out in the courtyard. But when we're in there, that you didn't have a lot of room to navigate in there, did you?
No, it was definitely a tighter squeeze. It actually looks bigger on camera.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. God. Okay, now I'm just amazed that you and Brian could pull that off and have stunts and the level of action that happens in there. Wow. Now, I have to commend you with your sound on this one. During your action sequences, I love the sound mix that you have. We're getting the armament fire. We're also getting the score. And this is a very unique musical accompaniment for a film of yours. So what were what were you looking for musically in this one from your composer? Because you get kind of a Zimmer edge to it, a little bit of synth thrown in there that kind of mirrors the static of the visuals. But it's also the sound itself, the mix is done so well. We never lose dialogue. We get to hear grunts, groans, impacts. So I'm curious about the score and then working that in to the sound structure, the sound design itself.
Yeah, Simone Schillo was our composer. He did, you know, a really awesome job. He's out of Italy. And, he, you know, definitely brought a unique flair to it. And then, you know, Brian Berger was our sound designer and sound mixer. And he's done, you know, every single movie of mine that you've seen. So
yep.
Him and I really dive deep into the sound. And he's just really phenomenal at what he does. And, you know, again, another unsung hero of my films. He really just understands what I'm trying to accomplish. And we really wanted to create something that was like a visceral experience that really put people in the moment. And a lot of that was done with the sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the really impressive things that's happening here, James, is how the sound is very immersive for us and puts us in the moment of all of these, shall we say, actions that are taking place. I do have to ask you about casting this, because this really comes down to the roles of Wyatt and Levi. So you had to get those cast right. How challenging was it to cast and to find Peter Jai, who plays Wyatt, and Josh, who plays Levi?
So interestingly, when it was being written, we wrote it for Peter. Peter was the main bad guy of my film, Darkness of Man, the Van Damme film I did.
Yep.
And I really wanted Peter to play this role, and I thought he could really handle it. And he was, you know, very excited and honored when I reached out to him, though he wasn't really sure if it was a real movie, because, you know, we didn't fully have the script when we reached out, but I'm like, you're playing the role. And then Josh Kelly, you know, we based a lot of, you know, stuff around because he was an Army Ranger, you know, for Tours of Duty. So we were just like, this just felt like the perfect pairing. And, you know, neither of them had met each other before before being hired, but I think they quickly became friends. And we sent them on like a couple, like, you know, dinners to go out and, you know, nights to go grab drinks and stuff to build that camaraderie before we started filming.
Oh my God. But then you give them two great females who pop up in here. You've got Augie Duke as Monroe and you've got Ashley Evan Smith as Tank. Was it difficult to cast two women who could complement the dynamic that Wyatt and Levi have?
Well, I had worked with Augie before and she's just a phenomenal actress who does not get enough credit. And I think she's just so good. And she brings something really human and unique to this role. And I think that was, you know, really grounding the film. And I can't say enough good things about what she did here. And, you know, with Ashley, you know, that was my big roll of the dice with this movie, because this is Ashley's first acting role ever. She's a UFC fighter. I think, you know, and I knew she could do the action, but I was very curious, you know, how it would go with her, you know, acting wise. And so, like, you know, we took a gamble and I think it really paid off. I think she's really great in the movie.
She's got great intensity and conviction. And that's really necessary for what you have the character of Tank doing. And also got to have that intensity to balance out with Wyatt and Levi. Wyatt is very, very, he's hell bent on revenge. Levi is going along for the ride at one point. It's his friend, his bestie, married to his sister. Yeah, he's going to be there. But then you need somebody who has an intensity, but also common sense. And this is this is where the character of Tank is so important. And Ashley really captures that beautifully.
Yeah.
You know,
I think she does just a wonderful job. I can't say enough good things about Ashley. I'm really excited that she was able to do the film and that she took it so seriously.
Now, the big question, though, James, you've got this guy, this actor, some guy, James Cullen Bresak, playing the character of Glitch. How well did he take direction?
He was terrible to work with. Oh. No direction. Knew none of his lines. And also, you know, I played that role out of necessity because nobody wanted to be the character that was completely blurred out and had his voice changed. So I ended up playing that because everybody kept turning it down.
I thought it was wonderful. I'm sad to hear that actor James was such a pain in the neck to director James.
He was such a pain in the ass.
Oh, my God. But now, would actor James ever work for director James again?
I don't know. It's definitely not something. I mean, I like doing, like, the Hitchcock-y cameos where I don't have to say things and I'm just in the background. But I don't know if I would do it with a full-fledged character where I have to learn lines.
Well, you learned them well, even if maybe you had notes written on your hand, or since your face is blurred out, you could have had something tattooed that we couldn't see. So, you know.
Yeah, you're like, you learned them well. And I'm like, that's take 50.
So now that you finished the workout, everybody is able to see it right now. It's out, been out. I'm curious, because you have so many films under your belt, all different types of films, what did you learn? Because this one is so different in terms of your visual style. What did you learn as a director in making this one?
Interestingly, like, The Workout was made in a way that's like the complete opposite of how you would make a movie. Like, everywhere that me and Brian put the camera, we tried to intentionally, like, figure out where we would naturally want to put it if we were filming the movie as, you know, as a regular movie. And then once we figured out where that would be, we then chose to put the camera in the exact opposite places. But in doing that, as weird as it sounds, it also kind of opened my eyes up to, like, you know, how much, you know, bigger and more immersive the film felt, the more I showed how wide and large and grandiose some of these locations were. Mm-hmm. And so I think I learned, you know, from myself that, like, you know, getting, like, bigger and more epic wides in my movies might be something I do in the future, regardless of, you know, the style, just because it was very interesting seeing how much that opened up everything.
Yeah, I mean, and it was a wonderful, as I said earlier, a wonderful contrast, because we get the big picture and then we get the little pictures. So that really expands the viewer's horizon as well as yours. And I think you pulled it off beautifully, James. I'm really impressed with it.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I don't usually tell you I'm impressed. You know that. So.
Yes.
Well, James, another job so well done. I love how you've changed it up. We see a new side of your filmmaking and your directorial vision. And I hope that you revisit this again, this style again, with your visuals. Because you do it really well.
I appreciate that, yeah. If it does well enough, we'll do a sequel.
Well, I could see a sequel for this one. Very easily. I wouldn't mind a sequel. Just saying. I wouldn't mind a sequel. Well,
there has been some talks behind the scenes about doing a prequel, calling it pre-workout.
Huh. Well, you could do a pre-workout and explore Wyatt and Levi in the when they're Rangers in the Army.
That was the idea. Yeah, it was going to be their first mission together in the Army.
And then fast forward it up to where we pick them up in the workout, where they're business partners and besties. That would work. I'd be more interested in a sequel, though. You could have a lot of fun with that. I already see it.
I think so.
It in my mind already, James. You could have a lot of fun with that one. Well,
okay.
Well, James, it has been a joy, as always, to get to speak with you. And I thank David for making it happen. And hopefully, we're going to chat again sooner rather than later. So it means you need to get back into the post-production process.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate your time. And as always, you're such a wonderful interviewer and just awesome. So I appreciate you.
Well, and I appreciate you making films that I really love and enjoy. So until next time, James, stay out of trouble and get back to work.
Thank you so much. I'm going to do exactly that.